Merry Christmas, happy holidays to Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky.
Merry Christmas to you, Greg, and all your listeners. I love the Andy Williams "Oh Holy Night" that you played just a few minutes ago. One of my favorite songs and renditions.
That's a good
one. Thank you for doing that.
That's great. A good one.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, we're wrapping up the year, Mike. And you, I know the legislature did get a COVID relief package of their own taken care of. Can you kind of fill us in on that?
Yeah, I would characterize it as we're ending the year on a high note and a low note. The high note, of course, is that we were able to put together a very bipartisan package of targeted relief for those businesses that have been, in my opinion, unnecessarily impacted by the most recent orders of shutdowns, particularly of the industries of bowling centers, theaters, and restaurants, of course, the major one. And so, you know, we were able to provide that kind of service, and we hoped that it would be a bridge between us taking action and the federal government taking action. It looked like maybe now that federal government's action will actually start slightly before ours, because ours is going to take just a couple of weeks before we can roll it out.
Mm-hmm.
Instructions for how people can apply, both individuals and businesses, will be following this week, coming out this week, and then let the process begin. That's the high note. The low note is that despite my personal best efforts to convince the administration based on their own data, not my data, their data, that it was unnecessary to continue this abusive lockdown of an industry that's, you know, one of our favorites, they continued it now through January 15th. And it's just mind-boggling the process that was gone through to conclude that. You know, it's humorous yet troubling that you can go to a movie, but oh my goodness, do not even think about having popcorn, because that's really dangerous. Or you can go to the bowling alley and enjoy a couple of lines of games in the bowling alley, but man, don't you dare think about having a beer while you're doing so. And it's a continuation of the illogical actions taken by this administration that unnecessarily harms folks. I did everything. We did everything we could, and I personally poured a lot of time into trying to convince them that enough was enough. That people are making good decisions, and the flattening and the decline of cases and hospitalizations began even before the November 15th order. And we just need to trust people, and we'll get through this. But I was unsuccessful, so it's a high note and a low note. And we're going to turn the page over to a new year, and we'll start the next year continuing to do the best we can with the work ahead of us.
How do you project the vaccines, Mike? How is that going to play out? We still have to be careful, right?
Of course. There's a lot still unknown about vaccines, but the data that's being shared so far is very encouraging, and I think it's near a miracle that these pharmaceutical companies were able to accelerate and deliver the products that they have in the time frame that they were able to do so. And I give a lot of credit to President Trump, and he put his full shoulder into making sure that all the obstacles were removed to allow that to happen. And now we're receiving vaccines and giving them out in a ranked order priority to those folks that need it the most. And, you know, by February or March, most everybody will start to have access to it. And I think it should provide a fair amount of hope for folks that we're now going to see the end of this this insidious virus is overcoming of our culture and our economy.
There is a pretty good percentage of people that say they will not take the vaccine. Do you see that as problematic?
No, I think that over time, you know, the vaccine will prove itself worth, and as people watch others take it and are able to overcome whatever minimal side effects there might be, but you know, we really don't know because it hasn't been applied to a large population. So I think there's legitimate room for healthy skepticism I would recommend that nobody draw a line in the sand and say that they aren't going to take it, but I think it's okay. Besides that, it's going to be a while before it's generally available to the entire public, so I think it's a healthy balance right now.
Mm-hmm. So, 2021, what... hard to predict, I guess, but are you optimistic?
Well, I don't want to jinx anybody or ourselves, but it'll be hard to get much more challenging than what we experienced in the aggregate for 2020.
Certainly,
this year.
Yeah,
We're Senate Republicans, and our caucus will be releasing a pretty comprehensive set of priorities for 2021 and beyond, right through the end of our session in 2022. We'll focus on economic opportunities, families, preserving health care. It'll focus on education, and it will absolutely be focused on reforming necessary changes in our election laws so that everybody can have more confidence in the integrity and the execution of our elections. That is so core to our culture and our form of government that we are obligated now, and I believe the entire nation's state legislators are obligated to review their laws and making sure that we're plugging those holes and eliminating those vulnerabilities to the best of our ability. As we face this new reality of mail-in voting and early voting, so that's kind of what will be on our agenda for the next 2 years, Greg.
What did we do wrong or right in the election?
Well, I'm going to take personal responsibility for one thing that was problematic, and that is that the clerks across the state asked for the ability to count early. And that request was made very, very late in the election cycle. We ultimately landed on legislatively approving them to process early, in other words, stage absentee ballots and mail-in ballots early so that they can be efficient on election day. But now, 2020 hindsight, I wish we'd followed the example of Florida, who have figured out how to process them as they're received. It takes these peaks of enormous amounts of ballots and the time interruption and the chain of custody vulnerabilities out of the system. It allows them to process them in a more timely manner and without a rush, and they can spend more time verifying signatures and so forth. The reason that we did not do that is because we didn't think there was enough time to secure a robust way to ensure against early reporting of results. So that'll be one of the first things that we'll address in election laws. Another is making our signature requirements and identification requirements more robust. And then the third area that we'll focus on is seeing what obstacles there are from ensuring that our qualified voter file, list of qualified registered voters, is made as pure as possible so we don't have hundreds or thousands of dead people and hundreds or thousands of people who have moved out of the state still receiving requests for ballots or being able to vote. So those are the three areas, but there'll be more. It'll be a pretty robust agenda regarding election laws.
Mike, there was plenty of, probably unfounded complaints against this Dominion voting machine. I know you had their chief executive officer before your committee. I see some news organizations now are really standing down from some of the outrageous claims that they made against Dominion. How do you see Dominion?
We have an oversight committee in the Senate chaired by Senator Ed McBroom, and he and his committee have done an intensive analysis of most of the allegations related to Michigan and related to Dominion voting machines. And you're going to see a statement by the committee, I think, probably even today, if not later this week, basically certifying that our analysis, our investigation that has been very intense, have discovered none of the allegations and accusations against Dominion true. I think it's been shameful that how quickly the national media have jumped on some of the claims, some of the absurd claims of this company. And what we really understood and now have learned is that there is a very comprehensive process for any company in America that wants to sell and market and deliver voting machines, that they have to go through a rigorous certification process. And nobody was really paying attention to that process and was only paying attention to outcomes and finding ways to throw doubt into outcomes. Now, I am very disappointed in the actual outcome of this election with regards to the president, but I don't think there's anything that we can paint onto and pin onto Dominion voting systems that would be involved affecting that outcome. I think there's a lot of other areas that we need to look at, many of which I've already disclosed to you in this interview, that we need to look at. But I think Dominion, I was appreciative that Michigan was the only state, so far anyway, that the president of Dominion chose to come and give testimony under oath. And I give credit to him, a little bit to myself, but also to the committee chair, that we promised that it would not be an easy committee, but it'd be a fair process. Mm-hmm. So he came, and I think he agreed that we were delivered on our promise there. And he answered all of our questions and has been continuing to answer questions and follow-up in writing. And so I think there'll be a pretty definitive statement released by the committee even this week.
The biggest issue, Mike, how the economy bounced back probably the first two quarters of next year?
Well, the stimulus package that the federal government just announced this weekend will, in broad economic terms, fill the gap of what could have occurred in 2020 with that $900 billion package. Most of that will accrue right into the economy, and that's good news. And I said from the beginning, Greg, and you've heard me say this on your show, mm-hmm. that last February, when we were enjoying a good economy and everybody was enjoying good jobs and good hours and good pay and so forth, the demand that created that never went away. It just was replaced by fear. And so it's taken us a year now, or it will have, to work through that fear and understand that this insidious virus, infectious as it is and dangerous to many as it is something that we've now learned to understand and learn to live with, coupled with the fact that we've got the miracle of these fast-paced vaccines to help us. I believe the economy in 2021 is going to be pretty good.
But some areas are still running out of ICU beds right now, so it's we're not out of the woods.
We're not out of the woods yet. One of the things I lament not getting done is a more comprehensive plan to help those who are infected but yet could stay home and self-heal and self-treat. And we have, far too many people when they go to the ER because they're legitimately scared. If given the right tools and the right information and the right access to healthcare workers, a good portion of them could stay home and heal themselves. But once you present to the ER, you're 99.9% sure you're going to get admitted. And that mm-hmm. is not to take away from those that absolutely need to be there.
Right.
But if we could shave the peaks, we could take a lot of pressure off the system. And we were not able to get that in place. We're not giving up on it for this year because this could be a while before the actual vaccine demonstrates and manifests its effect on the folks. So that's one thing I lament from this past year.
Mike, one spinoff too has been this fraud in unemployment that is almost mind-boggling when you read about the fraud that has come into the system, and it really threw our system into almost a quagmire, standstill.
Well, you didn't ask me about that before, but I will mention it now, and that is going to be the second most important oversight topic in the Senate, and that is getting into the details of why that was so rampant, why it was so big, and why it hasn't been fixed yet. The administration owns that, and they own that almost singularly, and I'm hoping that they take some of the time over this holiday break to identify where their holes and their vulnerabilities are and try to fix those before we start tranching out this most recent set of increases in the support from both the state and the federal government.
So, Mike, you've been busy writing poetry here. Tell me about this.
Yeah, well, I ended the session trying to leave it on a high note. You know, it's been a pretty intense year for all of us, but in particular, politically, in the Senate chamber. And we did a lot of terrific bipartisan work those last couple of days, and I wanted to do my best to try to end on a positive note. And then as we left session, my heart was just so troubled with not being able to succeed in convincing the governor to allow restaurants to open up even a little bit more than what they have been there. And so I, you know, one night I couldn't sleep, and I wrote a poem regarding the unfortunate and unnecessary suffering that many in this narrowly defined industry are experiencing. You know, anybody who reads it or listens to it will know exactly what I'm trying to get the point I'm trying to get across.
Boy, when you write poetry, you put a lot of prose into it.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, everybody has a different way of communicating, and different ways, I should say, of communicating. And I've used poetry over the years a fair amount, but not recently. And so this is one of my more recent efforts, and it's a replacement for an op-ed.
Okay.
That I hope will have the equal or better effect.
Mike, have a great Christmas.
Thank you, Greg. Yeah, Merry Christmas to you. Stay healthy, buddy, and we'll talk to you right after the first of the year.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky.